Welcome back. In this lesson, we're diving into a proper retro rave, ragga-style cut and distort move in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're automating it so it behaves like a real drum and bass weapon, not just some random effect splattered on top. If you've ever heard those chop jungle vocals, rave stabs, or dirty bass edits that slam into a drop and make the whole tune feel dangerous, that's the vibe we're building here. The goal is to take a bass phrase, a ragga vocal, or even a synth stab, and make it open, cut, distort, and reappear in a controlled way that feels intentional and musical. Now, the big idea is this. In DDNB, movement matters. You want the track to keep pushing forward, you want the bass to have attitude, and you want the arrangement to have those moments where everybody in the room feels the switch up coming. That's exactly what this technique gives you. Let's start with the source. Pick something phrase-friendly. That could be a short ragga vocal, a Reese note pattern with a bit of space, or a bass stab line that doesn't constantly fill every gap. If your source is too busy, simplify it. In this style, space is your friend. The automation needs room to breathe. If you're using auto, make sure warp is on and the timing is locked in. If you're using MIDI, keep the notes short enough that the chopping and distortion read clearly. And if the source contains sub-information, remember this very important rule, split the weight from the attitude. Keep the low end simple and clean, and let the cut and distort processing live on the mid-range layer. That leads us to the processing chain. Start clean. Don't jump straight to chaos. A solid stock chain could be a Q8, saturator, roar or overdrive, auto filter and utility. If the source needs it, give it a high pass around 30 to 40 Hz to clear out unnecessary low rumble. Then add a little saturation, not a ton, just enough to bring out harmonics and make the sound speak. This part is important. In fast music like DDNB, sounds don't have time to bloom naturally. Harmonics are what help them cut through the drums. So a little drive goes a long way. Roar can be great here too, but keep it subtle at first. You're aiming for character, not total destruction. Think controlled grime. Now for the actual cut. The core trick is automation. You can use track volume, filter cutoff, distortion amount, gate settings, and even width. Each lane should have a job. Filter automation creates tension and release. Volume automation creates the rhythmic slicing. Distortion automation brings in aggression. Width automation creates contrast. When each move has a purpose, the result feels deliberate instead of messy. A really effective starting point is to draw the sound in one bar, then cut it hard on the next half beat or beat. For example, let it hit on beat 1, then drop the volume sharply on beat 2 or beat 3, then bring it back with a burst on the offbeat or the next bar. That interruption is what gives you the ragga cut feel. It's not just distortion, it's rhythmic interruption. You can shape that interruption with an auto filter too. Try moving the cutoff from a lower range, maybe around 250 to 600 Hz, up into the 3 to 8K Hz area as the phrase opens up. A bit of resonance can help, but keep it under control. You want edge, not whistle. If you want a more authentic old-school chop feel, add gate after the saturation chain. Gate can give you that tight, rhythmic on-off movement without having to slice every piece manually. Set the threshold so it opens only on the stronger hits. Use a fairly quick return and a short release so the tail feels chopped, but still musical. If it starts sounding too robotic, ease off a bit and combine it with volume automation so the phrase still feels like it's performing, not just blinking. Now let's talk distortion bursts, because this is where people often overdo it. The best cut distort moves are usually moments, not permanent states. Automate the drive so it jumps up only where the arrangement needs more energy. For example, keep saturator pretty light in the clean section, then push it up harder in the last half bar before the drop, or bring roar's mix up right before the release hit. You can even use redux for a retro rave edge, but use it carefully. A tiny bit of bit reduction can be amazing. Too much and the mix turns to mush very quickly. This is where layering saves you. A clean sublayer underneath, mono and stable, can carry the low end while the processed mid layer does all the nasty work. That's how you get something that sounds huge without wrecking the mix. Dirty mids, clean lows. Always a winning move in DDNB. Once you've got a good pass, resample it. Seriously, this is a huge step. Create a new audio track, record the best automation moment, and print it. The reason is simple. Once it's audio, you can chop it like a break. That's where the sound stops being just an effect and starts becoming part of the arrangement language. After resampling, chop it into smaller pieces. Make short vocal stabs, reverse tails, half-beat fragments, and little punctuation hits. This is very jungle-friendly, because now your ragga cut can answer the drums instead of floating over them. You can use it as a fill, a reload moment, a teaser, or a call and response phrase. To deepen the movement without washing out the mix, use return tracks carefully. A short echo throw with filtered repeats can be brilliant on the last hit of a phrase. A short room or gated reverb can add space without smearing the groove. You can even use frequency shifter very subtly for a bit of metallic instability. The key is restraint. Let the returns live wide and airy, while the main cut stays focused in the center. And that brings us to stereo discipline. For the core impact layer, keep the width tight, maybe even fully mono if needed. In drum and bass, the kick and sub need to stay solid in the middle. If the main chop is too wide, you lose impact and club translation. So keep the main body centered and let the ambience live on the returns. That contrast is what makes the effect feel big without getting messy. Now, arrangement. This is where the move really comes alive. Don't let the effect happen randomly. Make it serve the structure. You could use it as an 8-bar intro tease with a low-pass filter slowly opening up. You could use it as a 4-bar pre-drop builder where the gate tightens and the distortion increases. You could use it as a 2-bar switch-up after a heavy 16-bar drop. Or you could use it as a reload-style turnaround before the second drop. In each case, the automation should follow the phrase. A really strong pattern is tease, then build, then punish, then release. Start with a filtered version that hints at what's coming. Increase the gate movement and distortion over the next bars. Then on the drop, bring in the full, clean low end again and let the processed mids hit hard on top. That contrast is what makes the moment feel massive. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't distort the entire signal all the time. Keep the sub clean. Second, don't cut the low end along with the mid-range unless you really know why you're doing it. Third, don't make the gate so extreme that it sounds like the sound is dying instead of chopping. And fourth, don't let the automation feel random. Lock it to 2-bar and 4-bar phrasing so it feels like part of the tune, not a test of the software. Also, always check the groove against the drums. If the chop fights the snare, move it. Sometimes a tiny shift earlier or later makes the whole thing click. In DNB, the cut should usually lock with the snare or answer it. That's the secret to making it feel like a proper production decision instead of an isolated FX trick. If you want to go a step further, try a parallel cut lane. Duplicate the source, keep one version mostly clean, and make the other version aggressively processed. Blend the dirty one in low. That gives you controlled grime without destroying the core tone. You can also try a half-time fake-out by briefly making the gate and filter feel slower, then snapping back into full-speed motion. That's a very strong switch-up move. Another really useful trick is to print multiple intensity levels. Bounce one cleanish version, one medium grit version, and one fully aggressive version. Then use them in different parts of the arrangement. That's often better than relying on one heavily automated clip for everything. For a quick practice move, build a 2-bar phrase. Start clean in bar 1. In bar 2, automate the filter lower and back up. Increase the saturator drive, tighten the gate, and cut the volume on the last half beat. Then resample it and chop the result into a few tiny hits. Place those against a kick and snare loop and see if it feels like a fill, a reload, or a drop accent. If it does, you're on the right track. So the big takeaway is this. Build from a clean source, automate toward chaos, keep the sub clean, and resample the best moments so you can treat them like part of the arrangement. That's how you get that retro rave, rag pressure energy in a modern drum and bass context. If you approach it with intention, this technique becomes way more than a sound design trick. It becomes a signature move. And once you've got that working, your drops, switch-ups, and intros all start to feel way more alive. All right, let's get into the session and build it bar by bar.